pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, J.C. Carter.
Welcome to the resistance.
Tiffany Steck Bell.
Hey, hi.
And of course, me, your humble host.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, buddy. Okay. How's everybody been this week?
It's been a long week.
Yeah, long
been
ass
been
week.
A really long
been okay.
Week. Yeah.
We took what felt like an emergency run down to St. George.
Mm-hmm.
There's a silver lining at the end of this. So my dad was in the hospital for several days before anybody found out. We found out, threw a bunch of shit in the car and ran down there. Myself, Tiffany, my kids, spent 3 or 4 days with dad in the rehab unit. It was very serious at the beginning. It's very serious mm-hmm. now. It is a different flavor of serious. So mm-hmm. at the beginning of this, we were thinking about hospice, but now we know he needs in-home care, that sort of thing. You
right.
know? No, it's leaving to come home Friday afternoon was literally one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. You know? It's like mm-hmm. walked out the door, said goodbye, turned to the corner, leaned up against the wall, and just let it all wash over me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
so
pretty rough.
Hard.
Me and Tiffany walking out of the hospital just crying at each other.
Ugh.
I'm sure we were a sight.
Not an unusual sight of people leaving a hospital.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of people walk out crying because the worst has happened, so...
Yep. And that's where we're at. Dad's 90, you know, mm-hmm. he's not running triathlons anymore.
No.
Well, he's training for a basketball game. That's our goal.
He's, they have him do stretches and they have him walk around and do all this stuff that hasn't been happening. And so, you know, he's still a very old 90, but he was making jokes and. Being adorable.
It is.
Before we left.
I love him.
And then we drove home. And because we're in Spanish Fork now, we got home like an hour early.
Oh, shit.
We got in the car and all of a sudden we were there. Yeah.
Okay.
This wasn't so bad.
You got in the car and all of a sudden we were there because you were asleep.
Well, I took a little nap and it was great for me. The only thing that was missing is, you know, when you're a kid and you pretend to be asleep so you get carried in and put in bed? I just knew that wasn't going
to
happen.
You didn't pretend to be asleep when we pulled in the driveway. I would have done that.
Okay. Well, next time I'll do that.
Yeah. Just so, I'm too tired to walk in. I'm too tired. Yep, I used to do that. We used to have that 77 Toyota Celica, the GT, the fastback.
Yeah.
And the back seats, the backs leaned forward, which was newish at the time, 1977. Mm-hmm. And so when we would go down to my grandparents' house and the kids would come out, dad would lay those down, have a couple of blankets in the back, and just let the kids sleep on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to do that all the time. Hmm. And I was the one that never got carried in because I was the one that could not pretend to stay asleep.
Yes.
Because I have ADD.
You're taller than them pretty early, weren't you? Taller than your parents? Like, could they even carry you in?
Yes, okay. They could. I mean, not once I was past like
9,
8. Mm-hmm. But before that, sure.
Okay. I just imagine you as this giant toddler and they're like, I'm sorry, we can't carry you in.
Carry me in. I just want to feel loved.
I mean, he did pretty much reach his full height at 8, so.
Yeah, that's the, in my memories of my grandfather, he is a giant man. He is mm-hmm. giant and imposing and somewhat frightening, usually because we'd piss him off. Mm-hmm. And I have a picture of me with him, and I'm standing next to him, and I was 13 years old, and I had him by about 3 inches. I have no memory of being bigger than him at all in mm-hmm. my head. I am always a very small child around when I'm thinking about my grandpa, no matter what we did. So, mm-hmm. yeah, my whole family's tiny. Every single one yep. of them. I think the tallest person in my family other than me is my sister, and she's only 5'8", 5'7", 5'8". Mm-hmm. Dad was 5'10", Trent's 5'8", 5'9". Mom's 5'4", you know, and then there's me, and I'm 6'4". So that was the family picture thing where it's, okay, you go in the back.
In the middle.
And we'll just bring in a bunch of tall stools for the family to sit on, because you're a freak of nature, sir. Young sir, go in the back. Go in the back where you belong. And that's mm-hmm. where I go. That's where I go in pictures, is in the back.
I still have a hard time believing that he was 5'10". Your dad's 5'10".
Dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He just seems so tiny and so little.
He does seem that, but he's bent.
Yeah.
He had an accident where he had a tree land on him. And it just fucked up his back. He hasn't been able to sleep in a bed mm-hmm. ever since. So he sleeps in a chair. And he's always bobbing his head forward. And it's given him forward head posture, which is yep. just awful. And that's where most of his height went.
Hunchback posture.
Yep. And there's just nothing we can do about it.
Nope.
Nope. So
makes me want to stretch my back and shoulders right now.
Well, we learned some very good stretching techniques in our physical therapy class while we were down there this week. So I'll have to put those to use.
So yeah, just to wrap it up, we went down thinking Dad was going into hospice, and instead he just needs daily care. Mm-hmm. You know, he can barely walk. You know, he talks very quietly. He can't really hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless you're yelling at him, which Tiffany is better at than anybody I know. She hits that perfect volume that Dad can hear. I don't seem to be able to find that volume at all. Because my dad is in love with my wife.
Yes, I was going to say he's going to listen to her because he likes her.
Yep. Yeah, he is terribly fond. So
So I don't know if you saw this, but Jocelyn's group does charity care as well. So their in-home nursing group that she's part of.
Yeah.
Down in they have a St. George office and they do charity work. So
yeah, we've already talked about it.
Because, you know, I suggested that to my family for my mother's caretaking, and they fucking ignored me. So I thought, well, maybe we'll get a chance with somebody else.
Yeah, if anything, with this gang, we're going to be fighting over who gets to provide service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just Dad. Yep. Everybody likes Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's adorable. He's funny. He's always very friendly. And people that know him think of him fondly. Hell, even my mother has been actively asking questions as to how he's doing and how his health is going. So, and they're divorced.
And have been divorced for many a decade.
So many decades. Yes. What was it? Four decades.
4 decades. Yep.
Good fuck, I'm getting old. Anyway, let's swing into some news. That'll get me off. Never mind. It won't get me off because we're talking about Trump.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. Okay. I said it anyway.
You said it twice.
I know. There's a thing we used to do when we were playing gigs, when we were in the band together. And if you make a fuck up twice, and they'll think you did it on purpose.
There you go.
Just make the same fuck up again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very easy for me, musically speaking. I used to fuck up all the time. So Rob Reiner passed away this week, Well, Rob Reiner was murdered this week.
Yes.
His wife was murdered. The two of them were murdered. It is allegedly, we are told, one of his kids that did it, his son.
Yep.
And that all sucks because Rob Reiner has made some of the... He accrues zeitgeists.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
I would say so. So many of his works have affected me over the years. You know, Stand By Me, Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, Princess Bride.
Whose life hasn't been changed by North with... Wait, maybe not that one. Hey, we all get a stinker from time to time.
Yep.
And putting Bruce Willis in a bunny costume. Well, that's fucking hilarious right there.
That was funny, but it did, the movie didn't land like some of the others did, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is me being a dick about a dead guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just did. Nothing I can say can match the psychotic tone that Trump hit on Truth Social after Rob Reiner died. I know you've all seen this, but I'm still incensed about it.
Oh, I'm absolutely pissed about it. And the fact that a reporter went on and the next day and says, do you still stand by what you said? He goes, I hated the guy. And that was it. I mean, he basically said, I hated the guy. He never was nice to me, so fuck him.
Well, you were never nice to him.
Yeah.
You went and got to be president and turned into the worst president of all time. And then you got voted out of office. And then you got voted into office and you're like, hold my beer. Why would he like you? Whereas you know full fucking well you've watched his movies and enjoyed them because you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am not going to read that message. I will not. Nor will I have it read on this show because fuck Trump.
Fuck that guy.
But I am very sad that Rob Reiner's dead. I'm very sad that his wife has passed away with him. And that the scumbag in chief is still the scumbag in chief. So Trump also this week made an announcement that he was giving a warrior dividend to military service people of $1,776. So $1,776, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's messaging. Did he come up with this money by himself? No. Did he pay for it out of his or Elon Musk's fortunes or Jeff Bezos's fortunes or Bill Gates's fortunes or
even out of his
Zuckerberg?
Presidential salary? Yeah.
You know, no. What he did was he took a housing allowance that had already been passed by Congress and signed into law by, I don't know, somebody other than this douchebag, rewrapped it, stole the present, took the label off, put his own name on, stuck it back under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And said, this is from me, because he's an asshole. But it was, yeah, it was a housing grant. It was made, it's a housing grant.
Yep.
Yep. He took it away from troop housing money. Overnight, Trump's $1,776 checks for 1.4 million troops announced Wednesday night come from congressionally allocated reconciliation funds intended to subsidize housing allowances for service members.
Mm-hmm.
So you just don't get it. I mean, you can spend it.
They're going to use it for housing, apparently. I guess that's part of their housing subsidy.
I mean, just... what kind of level of bullshit is it that he doesn't even tell him that's what he's doing? Because if it hadn't have come out, and let's be honest, there's a lot of people avoiding the news these days, so you may not know that this fucking Christmas bonus bullshit you're getting is actually your housing allowance that you were supposed to get to subsidize your housing a few weeks or months from now.
Yep.
Instead, you get it for Christmas. How many of these guys and women and everybody else are going to think that they've got more money coming down the line for the important thing and that they just got a fucking bonus?
Or are they going to get a bill toward the end of the year that says you now have to pay your full rent for housing, you know, because we don't have any more money in the housing subsidy?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more bullshit. Trump also got up and yelled at the nation on national on broadcast TV. He was mad.
Oh, he's so mad. Nobody likes me. Why does anybody like me?
Look at all this cool shit I'm doing. No, dude. Look, I don't have any love for Trump, but I'm against elder abuse for the obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no doubt in my mind that we are long since past the point where he's just being told bullshit.
Yep.
Because I believe his shock was real when he found out that he had pardoned the guy who brought more cocaine into the United States than anybody else ever.
Yeah.
Because he looked genuinely startled. He's like, didn't happen. Nah, didn't happen.
Yeah, he immediately has to backpedal on it all because he can't look bad.
Yeah.
But the fact is that he Trump, Donnie, you did that bullshit. Yeah.
So what I have is a fact check list here in the rundown that is literally so long that it would take two segments of the show to get through.
Yep.
It is literally so long. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this aside for a minute. We're going to go to another goddamn thing that Trump's done. And then if we have a little time at the end of the segment, we'll flip back and read a couple of these. Otherwise, pop over to theleftshow.com. Then when you're done hitting that donate button, pop back over and read this fact check from factcheck.org. All right, look. John F. Kennedy, whether you like him or not, was a distinguished president.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kennedy Center is a memorial. Therefore, it's like the Lincoln Memorial or the Jefferson Memorial or the Roosevelt Memorial or the MLK Memorial in that it is named for a president that has come and has gone.
Yes.
Now, the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts has Donald Trump's name on it. Literally, he has put his name onto the marble edifice of this once great institution.
He can't help putting his name on the side of buildings. That's really all there is to it.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
If he wants to just steal a bunch of money from Deutsche Bank and build a fucking high-rise and put his name on it, fine. More power to you, asshole.
Mm-hmm.
This is me just basically going, I don't need international travel for the next 3 years. But yeah, there it is. Donald J. Trump's name on the fucking Kennedy Center. Now, he can't rename the Kennedy Center without congressional input. Congress has to pass the law to rename it. That hasn't stopped him from stapling his fucking name to it. He needs congressional approval to demolish part of the White House. He didn't get that. He just did it anyway. Then he didn't pay the contractor, so the contractor pulled out. He didn't pay.
Oh, I'm shocked he didn't pay the contractor.
Yeah, no,
shocked,
no shit.
I tell you.
Who the fuck? And it's like these MAGA guys, and they don't get paid, and it's like he's been behaving like this for decades.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new behavior for him at all. Trump said gasoline is now under $2.50 a gallon, and in much of the country, in some state, it just hit $1.99 a gallon. He said the average price is currently $2.90 a gallon, and the lowest statewide average was $2.34 in Oklahoma,
where the wind comes running down the plains.
The waving wheat sure smells bigoted when the white supremacists are running the schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got that right. I think that it almost rhymed. You can make it. The president made the mathematically impossible claim that he was able to slash prices on drugs and pharmaceuticals by as much as 400, 500, or 600%. When you're having...
I'm impressed, yeah.
Yeah, when you're having your Christmas argument with Uncle Dipshit, please remind him that 100% is free. Anything less means the pharmaceutical companies owe you money. Mm-hmm. And that's just not going to happen. So let's take a little break. When we get back on the other side, I got some Republican news. It's almost as weird.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, Tinseltown, we remember Gil Gerard and Rob Reiner.
That one was rough, man.
Are the Oscars leaving ABC? Who will play Brainiac?
No one in this administration.
What mind-blowing movie premiered 40 years ago?
Debbie Does Dallas.
No, that's the other kind of blowing. In comics, has Green Arrow been canceled? Why did James Tynion have to option his own comics? We read Space Ghost number 6, Last Starship number 3, Batman Second Night number 2, and Zdarsky Comic News number 18. All that and Point Break, the television series. Face front, true believers. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on the comicbookpodcast.com and pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts.
Celebrating the winter season, I have a question for the group. Where did George Washington put his armies?
Where?
In his sleeveys. So we've got the Patreon commercial with you and Taylor and myself.
Yes.
That it occurs to me as we were speaking about it in the break is probably 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that folks that listen to the show have been listening to that same fucking commercial for 6 or 7 years. And I'm surprised nobody quotes it to me when they run into me in the wild now that I think about it. So I got a couple of commercials that need to change and get re-upped. And starting at the first of the year, I am on the hunt for sponsors. I'm gonna double back into that and see if I can't make it happen this time around. You know,
I'm with you. We need it.
It is not easy because we are a political show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have been told over the last 15 years.
Those ladies on I've Had It are a fucking political show, and they have sponsors. They're actually doing really well with it. So why can't we?
They were people. They were known people before they started their thing, because I remember least one of them I saw on MSNBC as a contributor.
Oh, no, she's now a contributor.
Yeah.
She wasn't before. Like, MSNBC's picked her up because of I've Had It. None of these people, neither one of these women were anything. They were like us. They were nobodies when they started, and now they're making it. Which, I'm not jealous. I'm jealous, but I'm not disparaging their accomplishment. It's that there shouldn't be any reason why we couldn't get donors based on that. There's no reason for it.
Well, they're attractive women, and we're us.
Yeah.
But we've got Tiffany, and that should count. So I'm gonna stick her out as the face of the organization.
Oh, great. That's going to help us.
That's going to help us.
That's not going to help us.
That is going to help us. I mean, that's just what it is.
Maybe if I was topless, maybe that could help us.
You caught her volunteering, right? I mean, that's what I just heard.
No.
Yep,
I'll do just about anything to help the show, she just said.
Sure.
Including toplessness. I mean,
there
just for
go.
Me.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I meant. That's my motivation.
That's what I meant.
Get a sponsor, see some boobies.
It worked with sit-ups once.
It did. I am not telling that story today.
You did a good 8 sit-ups.
I did. On an angled bench. That was. It's Kennedy again. I've got a really smart idea. Here we go. Are you ready? RFK Jr. has defunded the American Academy of Pediatrics. Secretary Brainworm just clawed back millions of dollars from the American Academy of Pediatrics. And you have to wonder if Kennedy and the pro-life MAGA Republicans have a quota of Americans they need to kill off, given that sabotaging health insurance, food benefits, and life-saving vaccines all seem to be top priorities in the Trump administration and this Republican Congress.
Still, I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah. Takes a special person to deliberately sabotage children's health, and RFK Jr. is up to the task.
According, I can do it.
Yep. According to Crooks and Liars this week, Kennedy's Health and Human Suffering, Services Department, has, quote, terminated 7 grants totaling millions of dollars to the American Academy of Pediatrics, including for initiatives on reducing SIDS. You know, sudden infant death syndrome. Improving.
It doesn't exist. That's just propaganda.
They're just murdering. They're surrounded by family and friends. Improving adolescent health, preventing fetal alcohol syndrome, identifying autism early, and according to documents obtained by the Washington Post, RFK Jr. is an asshole.
Why autism.
Why the fuck would he do that? So basically, the American Association of Pediatrics had the stones to disagree with Secretary Brainworm, you know, the former heroin addict.
Yep.
Some of the stated reasons for cutting off the group's funding was, quote, use of identity-based language, end quote, including references to racial disparities and, quote, pregnant people, end quote, an insufficient focus on at least one grant program on nutrition and chronic disease prevention, which they said runs afoul of HHS priorities.
Okay.
I'm livid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. It's just like, you know, he's got to know what he's doing. He comes from one of the most wealthy, moneyed, you know, landed gentry. Fucking, I know he went to school. Did he not?
Yeah, no, he went to a very good school, I'm sure. But none of that matters, because he made up his own mind, did his own research, whatever other bullshit they like to say, and now this is where we're at.
It's just...
And he was threatening to take away votes from Trump more so than Kamala during the election, so Trump had to bring him on, you know, give him a promise of being the Health and Human Services Secretary and not touch him during that time, not say anything about what, you know, support him 100%. And that way he would just do his thing. He could run roughshod over Health and Human Services. And meanwhile, Trump would get to be president, which is all Trump gave a shit about.
He's an environmental lawyer, for fuck's sake. Why is he running Health and Human Services? And as a side, he's had affairs with all like 30 some odd women that everybody knows about, including his wife. Why does he still have a wife? Cheryl Hines, what is your deal? What kind of shame kink do you have that lets you be treated like this? You're talented and stuff, but it turns out you're just a garbage person.
Yep.
That makes me sad. I liked her. I no longer do, but I did. I liked Cheryl Hines. She's funny. She was funny.
I mean, there was... You know, some of the things he says about food and diet, the American diet and food that we get in this country, I'm like, I agree with you 100% on that. We need to make changes because we are poisoning ourselves. But at the same time, it's like, he has this whole thing against vaccines and medication at the same time. I'm like, dude, those are proven. You know, if you're going to go after snake oil, go after these bullshit supplements that they sell and rip people off for, you know. If you want to go after the pharmaceutical companies, prevent them from putting ads up about their damn drugs.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Get rid of supplements, or at least regulate the way they talk about themselves.
Or regulate them altogether. Yeah, regulate supplements to just vitamins, basically, would be fine.
Yeah.
But where they talk about, like there's that Total T that's supposed to replace free testosterone in men. It's just an herbal supplement. It doesn't do a goddamn thing. It's mostly a placebo more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Placebos don't work on me because I don't believe anything works.
You don't believe in anything, so.
Yeah.
Placebos don't work.
So you give me a placebo, it doesn't work. You give me a pill, I'm like, well, I don't know.
I'm skeptical.
I think it's working. I don't know for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there's two. There's two pills that I take that I know when I'm not on them. Mm-hmm. One is meloxicam for my arthritis. I don't notice when I take it. I honestly believed it was doing nothing until I ran out 1 month and couldn't get any for a few weeks. And I was piss miserable that whole time. And then day two of getting my meloxicam back, I felt way better. And I was like, okay, this is a pill that works. You know, what was it? Abilify, my antipsychotic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this pill's bullshit. And then I didn't take it. And I ended up crying for like 3 weeks straight. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't figure out why everything's so fucking
funny. Why am I crying?
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I was going through some stuff, but still, I usually have more composure than that. And I lost it. And then I got back on the Abilify, you know, and it did. It neutered my emotions, and I don't get that particular brand of sad anymore. You know, I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. When I went off the Abilify, I had three of the most creative weeks I have had. As far as writing goes, I got chapters done. And I don't think it had anything to do with the Abilify. I think it had to do with that's how I was processing the negative emotions I was going through. But somewhere in my brain, fucking ADD brain, just latched on to that. If you take an Abilify, it's too hard to write. I'm writing chapters for school. I just sat down and wrote like a 15-minute script and did it starting at about 7 o'clock this morning and finished it, you know, right before we started recording the comic book show. I can write. I know I can, but I sit down to write normal shit or not school stuff, and I'm just like, oh, I can't do it. So
you can. I had to convince myself of that, too. After a while, it's like, dude, you wrote the most, you're able to write the most boring shit for, you know, for pay from a company doesn't matter that you've written this, but you're able to sit down and just write it.
Technical.
Because it's your job. Yep. Make this your job, you know.
I like that. I'm going to write that down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that. So Elise Stefanik has dropped out of the governor's race, will not be running for re-election in Congress. What, didn't get the UN ambassador's job because they needed her to save her seat? And she's just kind of like, oh, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. That's the song she's singing.
Mm-mm.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms.
Some worms.
Big ones, little ones, round ones, thin ones. I'm going to eat some worms.
No.
Ah, big generational gap there. Did you ever read Super Fudge?
I know Super Fudge. I don't know if I read it.
Okay. There's worm eating in there, too.
Mm.
I think how to eat fried worms.
I'm sure I had to.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. How to eat fried worms.
How to eat fried worms. It was part of the Super Fudge thing, but yeah, it was its own book called How to Eat Fried Worms.
No, mine was Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That was like what was so popular.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Am I in the Epstein files?
God, Jesus.
He might be now.
Don't get your pictures again.
I gave my kid to read.
I don't remember any island vacations, but apparently I'm a cradle robber. Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Tiffany's a grave robber.
You know what? I'll take that. She's a Tomb Raider. Definitely.
She's a Tomb Raider right there.
Tomb Raider.
I like them old.
Yeah.
I like the old bones. Mm-hmm. As
so, late Friday afternoon, Stefanik announced on Twitter that she's dropping out of the race for Republican gubernatorial nomination in New York. Not only that, she will not run for re-election to the U.S. House seat she's held for 11 years. For the moment, she's leaving elected office and presumably any sort of spotlight for the foreseeable future. What did America do to earn such a blessing? Maybe nothing. Maybe after this last year, it's the treat we really deserved.
I think we just deserve this treat. And I will say, Representative Stefanik, please let the door hit you in the ass on the way out to push you even further away.
Twice.
Yep.
Twice. So, yeah, she was a moderate centrist. And then mm-hmm. Trump came along and she drank the Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. Yep. She drank the Flavor-Aid. We do not shit on Kool-Aid. They didn't kill those people. That was Flavor-Aid.
That's Flavor-Aid.
Flavor-Aid.
Remember, what killed them? Flavor-Aid.
Flavor-Aid. That's very important.
They couldn't get Kool-Aid in Africa. They had to get Flavor-Aid.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah. I just figured Jim Jones was cheap as fuck.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind killing everybody, but I don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it.
We're not paying for brand names here.
Yeah. Store-bought. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's too soon to make fun of Jim Jones. Is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
A Wisconsin...
In fact, if anything, we're past due.
Yeah. A Wisconsin judge has been convicted of obstruction for letting a man who was in an immigration hearing go out a different door than where the ICE agents were waiting for him. It was 12 feet away. That's how far the door, the big door and the side door were. 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
He walked out the second door. He left. And the Trump administration lost their shit. But a federal jury in Wisconsin last week, convicted Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan of one felony count of obstructing federal agents back in April. However, she was acquitted on a second misdemeanor charge of concealing a wanted person. This was a case that never should have made it to trial, but the Trump administration made it a priority because local judges need to be coerced into full cooperation with Trump's ethnic cleansing agenda.
Yep.
And if it requires show trials, well, here's your star chamber. In the April incident, Eduardo Flores Ruiz, a Mexican national in the U.S. without papers, was in Duggan's court for a hearing on a misdemeanor charge of battery in a domestic violence case. Because the Constitution still requires due process, at least for now, knowing that he'd be in the courthouse, an ICE arrest team in plain clothes followed Flores Ruiz from his home to the courthouse to arrest him. He was among the first wave of immigrants that ICE agents started grabbing as soon as they left court hearings, following the reversal of a longstanding DHS policy not to do deportation arrests at courthouses, churches, hospitals, or schools. They have broken all of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this judge is like, well, you're still going through your due process. I don't know why they're here to arrest you. Why don't you go out that door? And out he goes.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, go, boys.
What you do?
that was supposed to be an easy arrest for us. We were supposed to make our quota this week. You done took it away.
That was a reference, babe, to a show called The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, and, yes.
And Roscoe P. Coltrane, who is the sheriff's deputy that was always after them. Like that.
Okay.
No,
he was the full sheriff.
I'm gonna write
that. What was the other name one?
Enos was the deputy, and he wound up getting his own show for a little while.
Enos of Hazzard.
Yep. Because he was so popular, he got his own show where he was working with a detective. It was, yeah.
Isn't this where Daisy Dukes came in?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
See?
Yes, it is.
Catherine Bach.
Catherine Bach and always wearing the cutoffs that, ooh.
Oh, you're going to die. Do you know how I know this? Is the new one that that Jessica Simpson was that character or something. She wore the Daisy Dukes.
I'll tell you what my conflict is with that movie. And it's, they played Bo and Duke a little dumber, which I was fine with.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica Simpson running around and everything she was wearing, I was fine with. And the script was garbage, which I was fine with. But you put all those things together and it was like, this is a terrible fucking movie. Just a terrible fucking movie. You know?
I kind of thought so.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
It was god-awful. Yep.
It was bad. But we did. We got those Carl's Jr. commercials with Jessica Simpson's in it.
Yep.
Is this chicken what I'm eating or tuna?
It's the chicken of the sea. That is tuna. Yep, she's a bright bulb.
Yep.
Have you seen her lately?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. It's bad. She can't even talk. Like, she cannot speak. Her lips are so full that she can't get them around to touch them together.
Yikes.
It's just yikes.
So, finally in this segment, Trump's ICE has a new target, at-risk teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
The teens spend time in government-contracted shelters. Now the feds are putting some of them behind bars. If you're trying to arrest an 18-year-old who has driven themselves to a federal immigration office for a standard check-in, it's best not to alarm them. You pretend it's a nice, casual interview, one Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer told the paper recently. And you have to wait until the last second, till the interview's done, to let someone know that actually, they're not allowed to leave and they probably should call people about their car.
Now, these are the kids that... They came over the border during the Obama administration completely unaccompanied. There was a whole mess of them.
The DACA
came
kids.
Over.
The Dreamers.
The Dreamers. And their parents just pushed them over the border saying, tell them you're a refugee. And away they, and they, that's when they got here. And that's how they got here. And they've been, they were unaccompanied minors. The state has had, the country has had to take care of them this whole time. Now they're turning 18. They're ready to be contributing members to society, and fucking Trump is, nope, grab him, deport him.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty gross. It's pretty gross. And on that gross one, we're going to take a little break. When we get back on the other side, the news.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the shows.
Hmm.
So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com. D-E-F-E-N.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
I was flipping through the news earlier today, and Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's group, Erica Kirk's wallet, was having their little get together this week. And what I'm about to tell you is 100% true. Are you ready?
Okay.
They set up the tent and other accoutrements that he was using on his college tours, including getting assassinated while sitting under one of these tents. They set up a life-size diorama of the execution site for people to step into and get selfies taken.
The fuck? It's like a nativity thing. They're just going to pop up every year.
Yeah, yeah. They
threw
they
up
set
up
a death
tent.
Scene.
You could go sit in there, and I mean, you better fucking believe I'd sit on that little camp chair and like do this or something. Just
they're going to charge people to sit there.
No, I just kind of jerk to the side, say take the picture as soon as I, you know.
I mean,
I need a gout of blood coming out of my neck, but you know.
How morbid.
Yep.
So people get in trouble for actually quoting Charlie Kirk with his actual quotes.
Yeah.
But his wife can set up his death scene mm-hmm. for people to take pictures of themselves in. Look, I don't like Charlie Kirk, but that's a step too far. That's too much. That's some dark, grim bullshit right there.
And yet, completely believable that these idiots would just jump all over doing that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she hasn't started selling his death mask. She'd do that. People would buy that.
Christ, I might buy one of those.
The Charlie Kirk death mask.
What do you got there?
Why are his eyes just celebrating from this mask so close together?
Oh, I know. What's with his big gums? It's the kind of guy that makes that noise when he smiles. Yeah, I'm still making fun of Charlie Kirk. Fuck that guy. He's a piece of shit. He's an absolute bigoted, racist, homophobic piece of shit. I have, there's nothing about him. I don't care that he was married. I don't care that he has kids. He wouldn't care if I did.
He doesn't. Nope. And he doesn't care about your kids.
Nope. Just wants white Christian babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I think we got enough. I think the Mormons are handling that.
I think white Christian babies are, you know, we have a plethora of them. We can back off on that a little bit.
You just use that there Mexican word to talk about white children? Plethora? Yes. The fuck kind of weird ass woke bullshit's plethora? That's just me. I was doing a bit. That's just me. Don't be frightened, anybody. Nobody's broken
that
in.
That would be Latin, not Mexican, but okay.
I know.
Just because you heard it on Three Amigos doesn't mean it's a Mexican word.
You're making fun of the dumb white trash guy. He doesn't understand.
That's why I have to educate him.
Plethora. I'm glad you said that. It means a lot. Retired Tennessee law enforcement officer Larry Bujart is suing after he was jailed for over a month after police arrested him because of a Facebook post of a meme quoting Donald Trump following conservative activist Charlie Kirk's shooting death.
Jailed.
Bujart, his crime was quoting Trump when the president said, "We have to get over it," in response to 2024 mass shooting at Perry High School in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Bujart was arrested and held on $2 million bail for more than a month because of a meme.
What?
The charges were eventually dropped, but Bujart is suing, as well he fucking should.
Yeah.
That is false arrest, a violation of his free speech, of his First Amendment rights.
Yep.
There are a billion things about that are wrong. And the fact that they would come and jail him, not surprising in Tennessee, but come and jail him over a fucking meme? The fuck?
In a 30-page lawsuit filed in federal court in Tennessee, Bujart argues that he was unlawfully prosecuted over the meme, like you said, First Amendment, and that officials mm-hmm. violated his free speech rights, targeting him, quote, simply for speaking his mind. Quote, yeah. It is clearly established that the First Amendment prohibits government officials from arresting people for protected political speech. Yep. This should be a very easy lawsuit for Bujart to win. So, especially because the arresting officer informed him that the warrant accused him of, quote, threatening mass violence at a school, end quote, with the meme quoting Trump. At a school? I play on Facebook. I threaten no one. Yeah, I'm looking at the meme. It is just stupid. $2 million bail for a meme.
Mm-hmm.
That's some high-level bullshit right there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves. You are apparently allowed to masturbate about Sydney Sweeney again.
Oh, good.
She came out finally to defend herself. Look, I don't care about her one way or the other. I don't care. You know, is she pretty? Yes. Is she a good actress? Not so much. You know, does she have big boobs? Yeah. Does she parade them? Yes. She's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. But, yeah, she stayed quiet on that American Eagle jeans controversy because she's like, I don't respond to negative press. That's a really, that's sound advice this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, when your negative press is that fucking big, maybe you ought to say something. And so she finally has. She says that she's against hate. And she has reconsidered staying quiet on the Eagle Jeans controversy, saying that my silence has only widened the divide.
Which is true.
She told People magazine that the campaign was centered on the tagline, Sydney Sweeney has great jeans. The pun around jeans, mm-hmm. G-E-N-E-S, ignited outrage online with many on social media alleging that the company was glorifying the actor's white heritage and thin physique. Some even compared the ads to Nazi propaganda, to which I said at the time, really? It's a bad pun. It's
I criticized the SJWs when they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, why are we, you know, and it's like, why is this a thing? This is bullshit. It's just a stupid language pun. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
That is. And then, you know, she didn't say anything about it. And I know that it hurt her the next two movies that came out. The one about the boxer actually looked interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and she did a lot of work out for it. She did a lot of work. And I'd like to see if she maybe took an acting class. Because it was an important story that needed to be told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said, I did it because I love the jeans and I love the brand. I don't support the views some people chose to connect to the campaign. Many have assigned motives and labels to me that just aren't true. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm always trying to bring people together. I'm against hate and divisiveness. In the past, my stance has been to never respond to negative or positive press, but recently I have come to realize that my silence regarding this issue has only widened the divide, not closed it. So I hope this new year brings more focus on what connects us instead of that which divides us. A fine, structured sentence, mm-hmm. you know, statement that probably ran her about 10 grand.
Yes.
Yep. You know, because she's been quiet for months. And having a couple of your movies tank when some of your pre-scandal movies were tanking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Leave Sydney Sweeney alone. She's fine. Leave her be. What else we got? Oh! I love this story. This is the kind of story I would usually stick in Patreon, but it tickled me so much, I decided that what I was going to do was put it in the main show. Santas. A whole bunch of Santas got together with some elves. With some elves to give food and money to the poor.
Hmm.
This sounds like your pretty standard stock Christmas story, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out
a Christmas tale right there.
The Santas and the elves committed felony burglary or robbery. They basically went prancing into a store. Hey, it's Christmas. Hey, it's Christmas. Santa, Christmas. And then they ripped that store off. They filled their bags with tens of thousands of dollars of shit. And then they Robin Hooded and gave it to poor people. Oh, holy night. Oh, I am Holy Night. So delighted with this one. Dressed in red suits and accompanied by masked elves, the group of Santas marched into a Montreal supermarket, loaded their bags with thousands of dollars worth of groceries, and left. The bandit Santas later released a statement saying food would be distributed to the needy and saying that the Robin Hood-style stunt was intended to highlight the spiraling cost of living crisis that has pushed basic necessities increasingly out of reach for ordinary Canadians.
Mm-hmm. This happened in Canada.
Yeah.
See, Canada. This could easily happen here. It could easily happen everywhere. We have a crisis right now. Yeah.
Yep.
Affordability crisis across the board.
This is the kind of volunteering that I want to do this Christmas season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the work that I want to be involved in.
I'd be happy to be one of the masked elves. Yes.
Roughly 40 members of a group called Robins des Ruelles, or Robins of the Alleys, participated in the robbery late on Monday. The statement released late on Thursday was entitled, "When Hunger Justifies the Means," and saying, "We are working more and more just to be able to buy food from supermarket chains that take advantage of inflation as a pretext to make record profits. There is no other way to put it. A handful of companies are holding our basic needs hostage." Santa, you hot piece.
Yes.
Digging it. Digging it, digging it, digging it. Yep. I cheer them. FIFA, who is hosting the World Cup, 2026 World Cup next year, had something. I think we talked about this a week or two ago, where the basic prices on the tickets were so high. Like in the final, the cheapest ticket you could find was almost $7,000.
That's insane. Yeah.
Most of the rest of them were all $1,500 and up.
Well, and on top of it, so you want to come out and support your team. You've got three guaranteed games, right? While they go through the knockout rounds.
Yep.
And then they go into the but if your team's going to advance, you're going to want to go to that game too because you're already over here. But you had to buy the ticket in advance, even if your team, and it wasn't refundable, even if your team didn't make it.
It's nuts.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
So FIFA said on Tuesday that $60 tickets will be made available for every game at the tournament in North America, going to the national federations whose teams are playing. Those federations decide how to redistribute them to loyal fans who have attended previous games at home and on the road. The number of $60 tickets for each game is likely to be in the hundreds rather than thousands in what FIFA is now calling a supporter entry tier price category.
Basically, they took 1% of their total seats for each game.
Yeah.
And then they divvied those out among all of the fan groups that have the national fan organizations, to the national fan federations. And they put those out to everybody to say, okay, give these to your fan groups. So like Tartan Army, which is Scotland's main fan group, you have to have been a member of Tartan Army, which you have to pay into that. And then you've had to work out your travel and your stay and everything like that. Meanwhile, you have to get your tickets. And now only about 100 tickets will be available to Tartan Army to come to the games that Scotland is going to play. That's just one example. There are fan groups for every single country that'll be trying to get these tickets now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know I'm not going to any World Cup games. I know. I'm not. And I have a feeling it's going to be expensive to watch on television, even though they're in our country. But
at least in something of our time zones. Yeah. I was like, the good news is we don't have to get up at 3 a.m. to watch, you know, watch World Cup games. But and it's whether or not they in the group stage, if we actually get to watch the Scotland games, which is the ones, face it, that's the ones we want to watch. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then as we get ready for Christmas. Dallin H. Oaks, president of the Mormon Church, had the following advice to parents of gay children, saying, yes, come home, but don't expect to stay overnight. Don't expect to be a lengthy house guest. Don't expect us to take you out and introduce you to our friends or to deal with you in a public situation that would imply our approval of your partnership. Just keep it in mind that it's all about family until it's not.
All about family.
Until
Fuck
it's not.
Fuck you, Oaks.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this show. If you would care to hear more, please, by all means, join us over at Patreon at patreon.com/dfenmedia, where every week that we record, we do special content for our Patreon family. We put it over there. It's every week. We do it for this show. We do it for the world's greatest comic book podcast, and we do it for I Told You So. And sometimes I put in poetry. And from time to time, I have actually posted my homework because I'm proud of something that I've done.
You have. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
It is worth checking out, and it is worth belonging to this. You, with the great at World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast, I'm starting to give people a say in what we're doing for the show and what stuff we're doing on the show. But they actually have to respond and answer. And not just go, oh, yeah, that's nice, and then ignore it afterwards.
They're just waiting for the stuff. They don't want to talk about it. Yeah. They just want it.
Exactly.
So that's it, you guys. Patreon.com/DEFENmedia. We're over there. That's where we go after each show. It's like an after party.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys got anything coming up this week?
Oh, my gosh. What is this week?
Nothing important.
Okay, then I guess I don't have anything.
Yule starts today, right?
Yeah, I think
Yule
so.
Yule starts today, day of recording. So it's Yule. Happy Yule.
Happy Yule.
Yeah. Bork, happy bork, Yule. Bork. Make sure you put your shoes out so that and put out some carrots for the Sleipnir, the horse of Odin, so he'll put presents in your shoes rather than coal. Or shit from Sleipnir.
Yeah. I don't know. Coal's kind of worth something these days, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. Compress that down. Superman did it. I watched him. Mm-hmm. That makes it real. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. John, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, thank you.
Yeah.
Dad, if you are listening to this,
I'm so
I can't
sorry.
Believe you made it the whole hour.
I'm so sorry, Dad. I didn't want to participate in this at all.
She's not. I don't think she's lying. I really don't. I think she'd much rather be doing something else. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Let's all go do what the British lady says to do.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFENmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.